If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf. From the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad, this is 10,000 Swings.
Hello, and welcome back to 10,000 Swings. It's Sunday, April 4th, 2021. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
We have a lot to talk about this week, more than likely including the Valero Texas Open, a local player that got picked for the Walker Cup, another local player that was leading the Augusta National Women's Am, and a Masters preview like none you've ever seen before. And next week, we'll actually have Phil Mackey from Score North on the show to break down what transpired at Augusta. But more importantly, right now, we have special guest Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual to join us for the night. Jarrett, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How was your weekend?
It was pretty decent. David and I both did the most Minnesotan thing of all time and got burned to a crisp because first day above 70 degrees. How about yourself, Jarrett? You're looking a little rosy as well.
Yeah, a little lobster, a little crispy. Played 18 holes on Friday in 30-mile-an-hour winds, and then spent 3 hours out in the sun on Saturday. So that meant I was rocking a bucket hat for Easter this weekend.
And is that – so when you go into a church with a bucket hat because you're so burnt, is it okay? Like, I know you're not supposed to wear a hat in church, but is it okay because you're burnt?
The bucket hat certainly came off, right? But you are sitting there in the pew wondering how many people are staring at, you know, the depressions and like grooves in your head from having it on so tight with a bald head. It's bald guy problems. I mean, it is what it is.
Here's the funny part, though. Like, we've all been around the block here in Minnesota. We know how these springs go. Yet every year we all do the same thing. It's like that first couple of days, all right, it's nice out, no sunscreen, no hat. I want to get a good base layer for the year. Fried. Just fried.
Yeah, getting toasted isn't necessarily like a base layer, right? I mean, yeah, we most certainly stopped in the gas station a couple of times looking for sunscreen on the way up to see family on the way back. I mean, I can feel myself just thinking about an oatmeal bath or something like that later just to soothe the skin. My goodness, it'll be painful tonight laying in bed moving around, I'm sure.
Is it fair to assume that Target is probably going to be out of sunblock and aloe vera by the end of Monday? Is that just fair because we got another 80-degree day coming and we didn't have nice things. This is Minnesota. So if we have the sun, we have to get burnt. You know, we can't just be like, oh, maybe I should put some sunblock on. This is how we handle these first days.
Yeah. And by the way, Target was actually closed nationwide today. So yeah, tomorrow, oh boy.
Yeah, it's I can only imagine what Target's gonna be like at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Every pickup order and everybody going for aloe vera and sunblock.
Copper tone flying off the shelves.
For sure. So we had a pretty special week on the PGA Tour this week. Jordan Spieth gets his first win in almost 4 years. I believe 82 tries or starts.
Been since 2017 for sure. So yeah, a while. 4 years.
And it was very fun to see. He's been trending, right? The last 3 months, he's definitely been trending. And he's great for the game. Anyone that doesn't like Jordan Spieth probably doesn't understand how important fans are because he has a following. So you might not like different things about him, but he creates fans, and fans create revenue, and revenue is how we pay for things. So, you know, whether or not he's your favorite, I don't really care. He's good for golf, you know, and just like Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, everyone's got their own different deal. I mean, there's plenty of people that still don't like Tiger, you know, and those people definitely don't understand revenue. So, you know, it's everyone's got their own opinion, but my opinion is that it's fun to see Jordan Spieth out there. And I tell you what, when that guy's putting like he is right now, he can't be beat. He can't be beat. I mean, he's hitting the ball sideways, and he's shooting 6-7 under a round just because his short game's that good.
So that's the issue with his game to me, is if you look at like when he won the British, you look at this, like, can you have a sustainable career? And I'll get to a stat here in a second. That's amazing. Can you sustain a career on putting like that? Can you sustain a career on hitting 30-foot bombs, 40-foot bombs, 50-foot, whatever it is? That's tough. But think of it this way. All right, so Jordan Spieth, obviously in 2017, he blew it up. He won, what was it, $21 million that year? Something like that when it came to the FedEx Cup. He's only the fifth player in the last 40 years to get his 12th tour victory before the age of 28. Who are the other four?
Well, for sure, Tiger, right?
Yep, Tiger's one.
Rory?
Rory is one.
JT?
JT's one. Brad, you're on a roll.
There's got to be a left-hander in there, right?
Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson. Those are the other four. That's pretty good company to keep yourself in when it comes to tour victories.
I am going to call out Jarrett for the Phil Mickelson. I think he may or may not have had access to the sports almanac for that one. He you know, he just kind of let me go through the first few, and then Biff Tannen over there comes from the top shelf, yeah. And you know, oh yeah, here we go. Let's get that left-hander guy.
Well, Brandy just said, like, who could make a career out of making 30-foot bombs? I mean, like, we both know that, like, nobody better has made a career out of scrambling from errant tee shots than Phil. So, you know what? If Jordan ends up having a very, very similar career arc to Phil, like, count me in as a Jordan Spieth fan that I can follow for the next 25-plus years.
I couldn't agree more with you. Some other comebacks this week that I want to talk about. So Camilo Villegas finished top 20. And Villegas is a guy that's kind of gone in and out, conditional status on tour, playing multiple tours. I believe a couple of years ago, or maybe just a year ago, he lost a young child. So he's battling through a lot. Very cool to see him top 20. I know he's had a couple other decent events recently, so it's good to see him out there. I can't confirm or deny if he's still doing the spider on the green. He's 39 now, so I feel like he might be pushing the medical people a little bit on tour for expectations of, you know, what type of stretching and stuff they have to do, because it's a little different at 39 than 20. And some other really good comebacks. I mean, I don't know who you guys' favorites are, but personally, you know, it's hard to say no to Lee Westwood or Henrik Stenson. Those guys were really on the top of their game in their 20s, I believe, and then kind of went away for a bit and then have come back. And now Lee Westwood's had like four comebacks. Like, this guy goes away for a bit, comes back. He's like a cat. He's got nine lives. Like, he's still cranking. So, Jarrett, who's your favorite comeback story on tour?
I'm going to go with Webb Simpson. I mean, think of the type of golf that Webb Simpson has been playing the last couple of years. So he wins the U.S. Open in 2012, wins the Shriners in 2013, and then doesn't win again until the Players in 18. Like, he goes 5 years, so he goes through this phase where, like, he's just hitting the ball all over the place, not even showing up, making the cut. Next thing you know, like, now he's a top 10 player in the world.
Westwood kind of did the same thing. Like, we didn't hear from Westwood for a while, and his approach has been different. You know, we've talked about this in the past. I mean, his fiance is his caddy, whether we all think that can work or not, it's a different conversation. He ditched his swing coach for a while, but right now, oh boy, he's playing some damn good golf. And you know what? Right now, I think he's in my dream foursome with Darren Clark.
Whoa.
Yep. I think those two would be, let's drive fast cars and drink some nice scotch, smoke some cigars.
So you're going Darren
Jimenez,
Clark.
Jimenez can join us.
Who's the fourth?
Jimenez can join us. That's my old timer's dream foursome.
I like that. You can't play with the mechanic without doing like the warm up routine beforehand. I tell you what, like, right? If anybody can do the type of moves that Camilo can do, I think the mechanic might. I certainly can't. I've spent the entire weekend, you guys, on foam rollers after walking 18 on Friday. I mean, like, the body's aging, it's failing, but Miguel Angel Jimenez, he can get after it.
He's almost got a Jeff Munich-y type of Fountain of Youth thing going, right? You know, Jeff Munich-y can chop down wood all day and do this and that around the cabin and gets 5 hours of sleep, goes for a quick dip in 10 Mile Lake, and he's a, you know, 22-year-old getting to the left side and, you know, piping at 240 down the middle. So I get it. There's certain guys that just defy the age, and I will be very clear that David and I are not those guys.
Munich is also on a little different Red Bull diet than you and I are on.
Meaning there is Red Bull in his diet. Yeah. If I have Red Bull, there's a decent chance that Brandy's going to have to pull me off his ceiling. So it's just Red Bull and me. It's kind of like coffee and me. Like my wife's family, when they first met me, they're like, "What do you mean you don't drink coffee?" I go, "I haven't stopped talking for the last 2 hours. What do you think is going to happen if I have a cup of coffee?" It'd be like Matt Foley in the basement. So, you know, but certain people really like their Red Bull, like their coffee, and I enjoy that. I respect that, but that's just not something that this body was made for. So, so this week I picked Corey Connors, and I believe he finished 14th. Nice event. He was right there with Eric Van Rooyen from the U, and right ahead of him was Tom Hoge and Matt Kuchar. And Jared, you picked Kuchar, correct?
I did. Yeah. It's kind of boring golf. But you know, he played really, really well at the match play, and he goes 2 under, 2 under, 2 under, 1 under. I mean, the guy's got a real nice game that shaped up nicely for Augusta here this week. And he always finds himself on the leaderboard on the weekend as well. So I'd be hard pressed not to tell a few fantasy folks to maybe take a flyer on him and look at what this sort of game he's playing right now.
And Jesse Acharya was on the show last week, and she picked Jordan Spieth. So maybe we need to start talking to her about our fantasy picks.
And don't listen to me.
Brandy, who'd you have?
JB Holmes.
And how'd that go for you?
About it like every other week. 78-74. Missed the cut.
A popular pick this week was Scotty Scheffler. And Scotty had, I think he was in like second or third after the first round and then missed the cut. I think he went like 5 under, 6 over. So, or maybe something to that effect. But yeah, it's fantasy golf, folks. It's no joke. It's a challenge. So another fun thing this week, Ricky Fowler, top 20. He didn't win, so I don't believe he's in the field at Augusta. But
he's not.
What did we see from Ricky this week? And we actually had someone reach out the other day asking about our breakdown of what's going wrong with Ricky. David, what's your professional analysis of Ricky Fowler? What's gone wrong? What's going right now? And where he's trending?
So here's my analysis. He's got a lot going on in his life right now. I don't love what his golf swing's doing, but that's a different thing. I love the fact that he's back in the top 20, give him some confidence. Let's look at his little circle of life. You got JT, you got Fowler, and you got Spieth. I mean, at some point, one of the three's got to drop out of that mix, and they can't be the high performer. So maybe it's Ricky's time, but I'm not convinced that he's out. I think his upper body's got a little bit too much lateral motion going on, but he's going to be back. The guy can play. The guy can score. So I'm not too concerned with what's going on with him right now.
No, I get it. I would love to see him. You know, he's another fan favorite. He's good for golf. So we really would love to see him. I believe he hasn't missed a major since 2010. So that was pretty tough to see that he's going to.
Yeah.
But hopefully it goes in the right direction. And speaking of going in the right direction, the ANA Women's Major, first major of the year, Michelle Wee came out with a 70 in the first round. So that was exciting. 79 in the second round, unfortunately. So she did miss the cut, but exciting. And, you know, Jarrett, we've talked a lot on this show about favorite names on tour. If you look at the women's winner this week, I'm going to say her name is Patty T, and I'm just going to leave it at Patty T because I'm going to butcher this. And to be honest with you, I didn't get a good enough feeling for how to pronounce it correctly. So I'm going with Patty T, and I might just keep it there. Lydia Ko took second, and not sure if you guys caught any of the event, but fun to see the ladies out playing their first major of the year. Again, the guys follow this week. So not sure if you guys had any breakdown there, but pretty excited to see Michelle Wee break par. That's a big first step in the right direction.
I'm going to leave this up to Jared for his the names that he wants to completely butch. But, you know, the event, I love it. Anything you get at Augusta National is amazing. That course always showcases itself really good. And for women's golf, it's amazing. So super pumped they've got the event. I love everything about what they're doing. They've made a very conscious effort to be a part of that golf association. And with the Masters, obviously one of my favorite tournaments, all of our favorite tournaments coming up here next week. What a cool thing. But Jared, what do you got here? Like, what name can you completely butcher?
Oh boy.
Jared, this is from the ANA women's major this weekend, not the ANWA, which David just referenced. So before we get our names right, let's get our tournaments right, and let's get our abbreviations right. The ANA is the professional event. The ANWA is the amateur event, which we are slated to talk about later in the show because we have a cool Minnesota connection to. David really just crushing it on names and abbreviations right now. Jarrett, would you like to break that down at all?
Oh my goodness!
We're talking about how to pronounce stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean we were struggling with the difference between hidden or like the past tense of hide earlier. So I'm gonna clock myself out for the rest of this one.
Well played. So pretty exciting news this week. Golf Digest came out with their Editor's Choice Awards, and they gave an Editor's Choice Award to the Rip Stick from our friends at Rip Golf. So RYPGOLF.com, the Ripstick. I've been using it to build a little bit of strength, build a little speed, loosen up, etc. Awesome tool, and really cool to see that Golf Digest gave them that award. And in addition, my golf spy also gave them a little look this week. So a lot of people are interested in Ripsticks and what they can do. And again, you know, when Jarrett's looking to change that 230 butter cut into a 250 butter cut or a major slice. that's going to get it done, right?
Yeah, I don't need a 30-mile-an-hour wind to push my ball quite off course every now and then. I can find the fairway to the right of the hole that I'm playing with ease.
That's awesome. last week we talked about Joel Damon. And again, I call him Damon. You say Damon. I say Damon.
Damon.
But after missing 6 of 7 cuts, Joel Damon considered playing the Honda. And we talked about what a bloodbath the Honda normally is. Instead, he kept a commitment to a buddy's bachelor party for a 48-hour reset in Las Vegas. I love a good Vegas reset. And rediscovered his game during a well-lubricated round at Shadow Creek and won for the first time on tour the following week. So we had talked about him last week. Should you take a week off? What do you guys think? I think a week off is good here and there, right?
Well, you know, for sure it's a good idea. He took a bloodbath from Honda and then went and took a bloodbath in Vegas. It's just two different ideas of what you're looking for. Yeah. I tell all my serious golfers, yes, you need a week off. You need time off. This is a hard game. You need a mental reset. I'm not telling you to go get smashed, but you know what? Do what you do.
There's a clear difference than going for, you know, a walk by yourself in the woods to clear your head versus going to Vegas to clear your head. Two completely different things.
It's a good point. So Joel Damon seems like a fun guy. I don't know if you guys saw it. He actually lost his hat, his bucket hat. His PXG bucket hat got blown off during the award ceremony. His caddy went and snagged it down by the water, which is pretty great.
Well, At least they didn't lose Doug in Vegas.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, Doug and Doug's sunburn issues from being on top of the hotel are pretty similar to all three of us right now. So we get it.
Feel that pain.
But Joel Damon, we talked about him being a PXG guy. And speaking of PXG, have you guys been to the new store yet? So they have the new store in Southdale. Full fitting experience. Got the new Gen 4 clubs in. Nobody makes clubs the way they do it. And, you know, cause, again, their whole focus is direct to consumer. So they're really fitted, are focused on getting you a special fitting experience. And no one else does it the way that they do it. Jarrett, what do you think about your PXG clubs?
I love them. First, you know, I love the way they look. Like, I love the black head on clubs. Like, I just do. I don't want the glare back up at me. I love it. So I love the way that they look. And I think that's, Brandy, I'm sure that's part of what you talk about sometimes with students, is just even standing over the ball and being comfortable over the ball. For whatever reason, like, the black club face really does it for me. But I've always struggled to really compress the golf ball in the manner that I should. And, you know, I can put like a nice, easy three-quarter swing on it because they're fitted to all my specifications. They do an awesome job down there. So, you know, shout out to my guy, Paul, and Kansas, Dayton, Ty Mune, all super, super great dudes down there. And they can most certainly get you fitted up right.
PXG does an awesome job with club fitting. You know what? There was one year of my life where I decided, you know what? I'm just going to find the clubs I hit the best. And I used a game improvement club. It was offset. It was thick. And I was launching 7 irons, 190 yards. It took me one round. And I'm like, I cannot look down at these things. These things are awful to look at. And, you know, it's the reminder that you have to have the balance of what performs and what looks good. And PXG's done a pretty darn good job of that.
No, I agree. So check out the store. Feel free to mention the show. Hopefully they won't kick you out of the store if you mention our show. But some great people doing some really good things over there. So another fun little nugget this week. Mateo Manicero. Do you remember that name, Brandy?
You know, only because of what you're about to talk about.
So Mateo Manicero, 2 weeks ago, comes to the 14th hole on the final day of the Alps Tour. That's right, the Alps Tour. I'm not quite sure what it is either. With a two-stroke lead, made bogey on
like
three.
Like a skiing tour? Like you ski?
I think it might be like a combo. Like you go play 18 and then slalom and add them, combine them.
Decathlon?
Makes bogey on three of the last five to lose by one. So then last week comes the 14th hole, final day, two-stroke lead, makes bogey on three of the last five to lose by one. Mateo Manicero, still trying to qualify for events, still playing these lower-tiered tours. Remember when Mateo Manicero was supposed to be, like, the next big thing? And because I'm saying that, I want to throw out a couple other names and see what you guys think. Who are the biggest disappointments, biggest busts in golf for our generation? I'm going to throw out Mateo Manicero, Ty Tryon, and Yo Ishikawa. Thoughts?
Okay, so here's what I can tell you. I watched Ty Tryon play. Oh my God, is he our age now?
Yeah,
Ty, probably. He's got to be maybe a little bit younger. I watched him play at the Chrysler Classic of Tucson. This is probably back when the ERC driver was in his bag with Callaway. I've never heard a louder sound come off of the club than what he hit on one of those holes. That kid was a talent. Of unbelievable strength that just never mounted nothing. So to me, he's one of the biggest busts on tour. I don't even know where he is right now. I know, Brad, you also put in these notes here, Anthony Kim. Anthony Kim cannot be a bust. And I'm going to have Jarrett talk about this a little bit, but like that man took out an insurance policy on his wrist or on his body for that matter. And he cashed in for, I believe, $14 million.
I thought it was closer to 20. I was closer to 30. Between 25 and 30 is what I'd heard. But again, he can't play professionally for the rest of his life. And I think it kills him to not be able to. So, well, Jared. Okay.
So Jarrett, like the guy's got somewhere, okay, between me and Brad, we've got between $14 and $30 million in the bank for never playing professional golf again. What are we doing?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's an awesome disability policy, right? I mean, it protects him for his own occupation, right? So he is his most valuable asset to earn an income. So he goes and protects it, gets hurt. Next thing you know, he's collecting $30 million. I mean, the guy's got plenty of interest that he can live off of for the remainder of his life, whether it's invested in mutual funds or stocks or bonds or non-qualified or whatever it is. Like, he's going to be just fine. You know, when I think about like biggest busts in golf, two names for whatever reason always come to my mind first is Ricky Barnes and Kelly Kraft. How about Kelly Kraft? Kelly Kraft beat Cantlay in the 2011 U.S. Amateur, played in the Masters, played in the British. He even placed like top 20 in the Emirates Open that year. And then he hasn't done anything since. He's only made like one or two other majors since then. I would call those two guys my top two busts in golf presently.
The reason why I say bust / disappointment for Anthony Kim is simply that you guys said it before. Jordan Spieth made $21 million in 2017 plus another $30 to $40 million in endorsements. So if Anthony Kim has one good year, one Spieth-like year, that's $50 or $60 million. That's well over double whatever his insurance policy is. So That was my point, mainly because I was such a huge fan. Like, he was so good for golf. He was really exciting and fun to watch, and then he was just gone. It's not even a bust as much as just disappointing that we just don't have him anymore, right? But some really good point. Kelly Kraft and Ricky Barnes are some really, really sneaky pulls.
Barnes is a really sneaky one.
Remember Ricky Barnes had that like silly, stupid little hat with the stupid brim. He was a Wilson staffer. Like, every time I saw a Wilson commercial with Streelman and Ricky Barnes, like, I just wanted to turn the channel.
So, serious question, Jarrett. Who sells more hats? Ricky Barnes painter hat or Bryson DeChambeau Gatsby cap?
Can I go with the Damon bucket hat? Can I go with that instead and say that that thing's going to fly off the shelves just like it did his head last weekend in Punta Cana? Seriously, his caddy was on his horse to get that thing. He dove into a bunker to get it. I was so impressed. It was all in slow-mo. Great Twitter video, social media. That was what I was there for this weekend.
I thought he disappeared in the ocean for a second.
It looked like it. It did. It's there's a caddy with some cat-like quick reflexes, very, very Tommy Boy-like. Good stuff. And you know what's interesting? So Ty Tryon had a huge endorsement deal, right? And several of these other guys have had big endorsement deals, and they haven't panned out, etc. But you know, these guys, like other people, they think they're going to have money, and then they don't have money. So if you don't want to be like one of these people, call Jarrett Yalen today. You want to have money. Money's a good thing. So Jarrett, Northwestern Mutual, 612-209-4523. And let him know you heard about him on our show, 10,000 Swings. Hopefully he doesn't hang up. If you'd rather check out his website, it's www.jarrettyalen.com. JarrettYalen.com. Jarrett's a great guy, but most importantly, you can just trust him. He'll tell you, he'll shoot you straight, whether it's good or bad, he's there. So Jarrett, we really appreciate you sponsoring the show and just helping out people everywhere financially. And, you know, hopefully none of you end up like Ty Tryon or any of these people that thought you're going to have a lot of money available and all of a sudden it's gone. So Jarrett, would you like to add anything?
No, I think you wrapped it all there really nicely. You got it, man. We're here to help. I'm happy to be a part of the show, and you guys do awesome stuff, man. So as long as we can bring some joy and happiness to people listening to this stuff, then I'm all for it.
Awesome. So, Jarrett, you talked about earlier, played golf already. It's 70 degrees plus this weekend. Courses are opening left and right. Private clubs will start opening. Really impressive for April 4th. And one of the things that you see early in the season is a lot of sideways shots. And one of the ideas Jarrett threw at me the other day is, What's the worst hole to live alongside in the Twin Cities? So, like, what house do you drive by and you're like, man, they probably replace those windows like 10 times a year? And then what's the best house to have? Like, where can you live in the cities or in the state where you're like, man, you get a great view and no one's ever going to ding your house? What do you guys think those places are? Like, you could just talk specifically like what courses, but I feel like there's definitely like TPC Twin Cities, for example, is a perfect place where like certain holes you can't get to the houses. And then all of a sudden you stand up on hole number three and everyone's just like magnets to the right side, right? Like, what do you guys think? Best and worst spots to live for sideways golf shots, especially when you've got beginning of the season and 30-mile-an-hour winds.
All right. So I'm not technical enough to share my screen here, but on my notes, I have hole three TPC Twin Cities, because that tee shot, I know it's a member. The first round I ever played there, I pelted that house on the right, that first one. And I've watched it get pelted so many times. It's like I stand up there. It's wide open. I know I've got water 40 yards left, which should never be in play. But for whatever reason, that frickin' house is there in my mind. The other one is hole eight at TPC. It's a short little – I shouldn't say short. Depends on what tees you play from. Little par three, but it is lined with houses, and I have seen so many shattered windows there. So for me, it's those two. If you can give me a house that I really want, let's single me out. I'll put me on the 18th hole at TPC along all by myself, back where we're gonna have some corporate tents, and I feel okay there.
There are a couple of good ones here in the cities too. There's a great patio right off the left side of the first green at Interlaken. Really, really great place to watch some balls come in. And then I would say 11 at Bear Path. You know, it's a par three, and it's kind of in like this little bowl-shaped valley. So you can just sit there and watch foursomes give it their best. It's like 190, 195-yard par three. I mean, you got to be a little bit of a stick to get it there. Really big green complex, but you know, I don't think any of the houses there are in jeopardy. But 10 Bear Path houses are in jeopardy. So yeah, three at TPC is like by far the worst.
So Jared, that's funny you bring that up. So in transition in us building a new house, this is about 4 or 5 years ago now, we lived right off of the first hole for 4 months on Edinburgh. And we lived in that apartment complex for 4 months on the top floor. And my wife and I used to sit out there and we would just watch people just pepper that apartment complex. The other thing that was actually quite funny was there's an apartment complex, you know, obviously, you know, right where it is. And there's some trees right there. The amount of pee breaks that people are taking behind trees on the first hole, I like, there's a bathroom that you had 5 minutes ago. But all of a sudden you feel the need now 5 minutes into your round. Oh, I got to take a piss. And you're going to do it right here in front of an apartment complex. It just blew my mind.
I think a really good spot to view shots without being in play is on the right side of 11, Rush Creek. So 10's the par five, water down to the right, and then 11's that par four, and you've got some beautiful houses there up on the hill kind of a little bit that can kind of oversee a little bit of 10, 11, a little bit of 18, you know, kind of see a lot of things, but never really in jeopardy of being hit. Because to me, that's kind of like the perfect, right? Like, you're on the golf course, but you're not getting balls coming in your yard, because there's some at TPC and Bear Path and a few of these places where it's like, man, if you had a swimming pool, like, you have to wear a helmet in your swimming pool because, you know, you're just trying to enjoy your floaty and a cold beverage, and all of a sudden you're
because Rory's playing there.
That's right. Rory taking in someone's pool at Austin Country Club last week was a whole nother level as well. So it's pretty good stuff. Locally, pretty impressive, and I don't know if this has been done before by a college player at the U, but senior Angus Flanagan from the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher golf team has been picked to be a part of the Walker Cup at Seminole in May as a part of the GB&I team. So not on the American team, but pretty darn cool. Have there been any other golfers that have made the Walker Cup? I feel like John Harris played it later in life, but have there been any other college players that have made it?
I can only think of John Harris and Tim Heron being on the Ryder Cup.
Is right. That Tim Heron didn't play here.
No, he didn't play here.
But yeah,
those only two local ones I can think of. So I mean, super cool for him. I mean, that's awesome. That's like the amateur status of the Ryder Cup. So what a cool deal.
That's pretty awesome. And some, you know, as we start looking ahead to next week, we got a little bit of a preview this week with Augusta National, with the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And they've been doing this. Is this the third year, second or third year? This event, maybe fourth.
Have it last year?
I can't remember if they did or not, but I know they've had more than one now, and pretty cool
right.
Invitation event for women, just amateur women. And Minnesotan Kate Smith from Detroit Lakes, whose dad's a PGA member, she plays at Nebraska, and her brother Carter, I believe, played at Drake. He was on the bag for her, and she got to play. And it was like, oh, Kate Smith's playing the Augusta National Women's Amateur. That's cool. Well, after they stopped the first day, she was 4-under through 11 and had the lead. And you're like, oh, boy. And it's looking pretty exciting. Unfortunately, she finished the day out 4-over the next morning when she came back after the rain delay. And then 79 the next day, got into a playoff, and unfortunately missed the cut by losing that playoff. But still pretty fun to see the event. A lot of great young women's talent out there getting their chance to play a couple different courses in Augusta for the final. And then at Augusta today, the drive, chip, and putt. So for those that aren't familiar, kind of a cool way for very young kids to focus on specific talents, not just a score, but really to kind of showcase what they can do in different areas. And actually, we had Andrew Ramos from Blaine, freshman at the Tino Grace, actually made it to Augusta, was there today. So he works with Luc Benoit, who created the Ripstick. So pretty cool stuff there. I believe he's plays a decent amount of junior golf in the area. David, did you get to see him at all?
Yeah. So actually, as we're recording this, because it's about Sunday night here at 9 o'clock, we're watching the repeat of the drive, chip, and putt at Augusta. Super cool thing. Andrew's a great kid. He's grinding out at the practice facility every single day. So I see him all the time. So super cool for him to be there and be a part of this. I believe he finished ninth in his age range. So what a cool experience. So that's awesome for him. And this is Augusta's really done a really good job over the last few years of reaching out and becoming more than just the Masters, because that used to be such an exclusive club of, okay, we're the Masters, we're Augusta National, and now they've got the Women's Amateur, the drive, chip, and putt. So kudos to them for coming out and reaching out and getting everyone involved with their course and facility.
So we're at Augusta. We're there mentally. It's Sunday night. Starting tomorrow, everything turns to Augusta. So, Jarrett, have you been before?
I've never been, no. I mean, it's certainly on the list, right? I mean, I've been in the lottery every single year for the last 20 years. So, I think at some point we're just going to have to pop for the side tickets and get them. But, no, never been. It's like all time, right? Like dream foursome, that's probably where it would be. There's something about the Georgia pine trees. There's something about like just how beautiful and peaceful it looks. I mean, it's amazing stuff, man. The low country, and that's kind of borders it, is where it's at.
Brad, have you been there? Yeah, I went for the first time in 2019. It was kind of a good year for the Masters, with Mr. Woods making arguably, in my opinion, the best comeback. We talked about different comebacks. That might be the best comeback, to be honest. That is so special what he did with everything he's been through. So
yeah, were you there the entire week?
No, I was just there on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at the very beginning of the week. And so I was on the grounds on Monday and Tuesday. And it's just, there's nothing like it. It's seriously, it's Disney World times 10 for golfers. I mean, the stuff they do, everything they do there is just a whole nother level, and everything is so perfect. There's nothing about the place that's not perfect, and it's just, it's really special. I can't wait to eventually get to go back, and who knows, you never might not, but it's pretty cool.
I can't imagine how long I would get stuck in the pro shop there, you guys. I can't imagine, like, the merchandise tent. I mean, I would
get stuck there until your Amex runs out.
Oh man. I mean, like, talk about budgeting before you go. I mean, this is one of those things that you think about. You're like, well, I might never be back here again, which, by the way, always guides me to, should I spend the pro shop credit on just golf balls, or should I actually buy something that I need, or am I ever going to be back at this place again? And if the answer is, man, maybe not, well, the credit card's coming out. Here we go. It's not going to be a fun conversation when I walk in the door.
The merchandise experience is like nothing you've ever seen. They've got it so dialed. You can ship it home. You can ship it wherever you want. You can ship this here, ship this there. My spot to kind of lock in was mainly in Tervis tumblers and different types of like glasses and cups and stuff, because people always use those things and you can't get the size wrong. So between those and coffee mugs and some of that kind of stuff, those were pretty popular for me. There's nothing, the electricity, like when people are in the merchandise tent, that's what's crazy. Like, people are so geeked to spend as much money as possible. Like, you know, you don't normally see people at Costco or Target. They're like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. You know, and you know, I can't afford this. Like, no, people are at the merchandise shop literally begging to spend as much money as possible. And it's unreal. Like, everybody is just lined up and they're all talking about, you know, what's your number? That was my favorite part. Like, everyone I went with on this trip, like, what's your number? You know, I basically had said, I'm going to try to keep it around $1,000. I figured that was pretty reasonable amount, you know, somewhere between 700 and 1,000 is what I kind of pegged in my head, you know, with shipping and everything. I stayed under the 1,000, but I know there's people that have gone, you know, 5,000, 10,000, you know, they get 1,000 Tervis mugs and send them home or whatever it may be.
So, so we're in the process of decluttering our house right now. We call it a little bit spring cleaning. And my wife comes up to me with these Masters coasters. So I was there in 2005. And she hands me these coasters that I've not used ever. Like, I've never brought them out. She goes, so should we keep these or get rid of them? I'm like, hell no, we are not getting rid of these. This is from Augusta. Then she brought out something else. I don't remember what it was. Like the old Payne Stewart type hat. And I'm like, no, it's staying. Like, anything I bought that year, I don't care if I use it or not, it is staying in this house. And it goes from the, and Brad, you know, you've been there. It goes from the $2 beers with the souvenir cup on the course to the $90 shirt in the merch tent. And you don't recognize any of it. It is such a cool place. And whatever you guys see on TV, it's 1,000 times better in person. This is a must do if you can.
I think time spent in the merchandise tents too, or pro shops or whatever it is nearly just as important. Like, when you're planning out the trip in 2019, my wife and I went to Monterey. So we went and played Pebble Beach. We played Spyglass. I had to budget at least like an hour and a half to 2 hours pre-round just so I could go in there and decide what I want. And, you know, like, I'm trying to decide between this pack of playing cards and this pack of playing cards, like crap that I don't use all the time. Like, I don't have time to play cribbage, right? But I need a set of playing cards from Pebble Beach just in case a game of spades ever breaks out, you know? So, like, I think there are things when you walk into shops that you know you're never going to be back in. Have a number, budget for it, budget out your time, and just know that, like, some of these things, like, you might never use them, but it's so much the experience, you know? It's the electricity of walking out of Pebble Beach, knowing that you may have spent more in the pro shop than you spent on the actual round. Sort of painful at the back end of the trip, that's for sure.
All right, so note to listeners, when you're planning your next golf trip, call Jared, 612-209-4523, and let's talk about your budget before you go on these trips, because they can get a little landish.
Or Jared could help you with your investments that could help you pay for, you know, if you do well in your investments, they help pay for those trips and that extra merchandise. You know, he didn't say he didn't have the money for said merchandise, David. So he's just been smart with his investments to be able to, you know, get 8,000 polos in one closet, right?
Yeah, and isn't he a shop credit expert too?
Exactly. Yes. Self-proclaimed. So one of my favorite moments from being at Augusta is I got to see on that Monday afternoon, DJ was playing a practice round with Rory. And on hole 15, Rory decided to lay up, and DJ decided to go for it. And DJ made it for double eagle. And Rory laid up and made seven, I believe. He laid up and then he hit one and spun one back in on the third shot for double, and it got ugly. So
you're gonna pick Rory this week too, aren't you?
Nope. not gonna happen. So DJ at Augusta, and there's several directions I want to go because DJ is really hard to figure out right now. Is he playing well? Is he not? He won last year. Does his win last year actually count because it was such different conditions? Like, is there a little asterisk after that? You don't have fans. You know, it's totally different. So my question is does his win in 2020 count? And then my other question is DJ's dinner menu. What? Did you guys see this? Because there are some of my favorite foods on here, filet mignon, but pigs in a blanket for the appetizer was quite – when I saw the pigs in the blanket, I thought that for sure the main course was going to be chicken tenders. So what do you guys think of DJ's menu? And if you had a choice, what would your menu be?
I think it's an all-timer menu. I mean, the pigs in a blanket and lobster corn fritters, I mean – just keep those things coming around. Like, I mean, it's like the breadstick person at Fazoli's. Just tell them to keep coming. Keep the breadsticks coming. If I got a pig in a blanket and a lobster corn fritter, I'm totally happy. I love the menu. I'd go bacon wraps, scallops, and like crab cakes to start. Like, I'm a seafood guy, and it's got to be like Chesapeake Bay, salty, minerally crab. Like, none of this Alaskan king crab stuff. Like, I want some grit to it. And then I need a ribeye. Like, I need some fat in the steak. I got to have that because it gives it more flavor. Then kill me with some cheesecake and strawberries on the top. I'm done.
Ready?
So all my mind goes to right now is my days when I lived in South Carolina of Fazoli's. Oh my gosh. We ate there all the freaking time. It is so good.
Right? Youth basketball tournaments, or you went there with your team. Like, just keep the breadstick person coming around. That's it. That's all I need.
That's all I needed was the breadsticks coming there the entire time. We'd spend an hour there.
and let's face it, like, these places that offer the unlimited breadsticks, like, don't short me on these. You know, at Olive Garden, you get into the breadstick thing and they, you know, after the sixth basket and they're like, hey, you know, we should probably shy away. Don't give me unlimited breadsticks if they're actually limited. Like, say, hey, you only get 5 buckets, you know, like.
Yeah, if I go to Teresa's and my chips and salsa is empty, it means bring more. It doesn't mean like I want to know if I would like some. Like, I know that I want some. Like, just keep it coming. Free breadsticks, chips and salsa, I'm in. Appetizers, I will snack all day long.
That's when I get mad at Chili's, when it's like my chips and salsa gets low and I'm like, I need more. I don't want to have to ask for this. This is the unlimited. I need more of this. You guys have the greatest salsa in town.
So I'm thinking if I win the Masters and I get to host this dinner, I'm going with some sort of like probably mac and cheese for a side.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ribs for dinner. And then some sort of a barbecue appetizer or something, you know, to go with it. I'm not sure on the appetizer part. And probably wash it down with like a, you know, cold Budweiser. You know, just kind of a little Southern barbecue vibe, I think, is where I'm going. And I just want to sit there and look at Tiger and just see that ring of rib sauce around his face and just have him say, that was awesome. You know, with a big chunk of rib in his mouth. Like, that would be the best, right?
A rib and a diesel to knock it down for the night.
Brandy, what's your menu?
All right, so this is so easy for me. I'm gonna lay the whole thing out here. The apps, it's raw oysters and calamari.
Ooh. Okay.
First course, me a wedge salad. Very picky with the wedge salad because I basically don't eat vegetables. So it's going to be like a lettuce wedge, some bacon, some ranch, and that's about it. going with DJ's style, family style sides, skinny french fries, main course. Brad, I'm on the same page, close to you here. We're going mac and cheese with some crab meat, though. Ooh. I will go to the finest restaurant in the United States or the world for that matter. If they have mac and cheese on the menu, I will order it. I want to know what the best is. And then for dessert, chocolate flourless cake with some hot caramel dripped over the top of it. Ooh. And none of us will be able to play golf the next day.
Can I note specifically that Brad's menu came straight from Will Ferrell, like Anchorman with the ribs. Harry Carey from Saturday Night Live skits with the ice cool Budweiser. Like, Brad's menu is straight from Will Ferrell. Let's be honest here.
I'm doing this because I had ribs for lunch. Yeah, yeah, no, you got me. That's my role model, Will Ferrell. Oh man, it's fun to think about. I think, by the way, for a dessert, my mom makes these chocolate peanut butter balls that are out of this world. I think Yalen's had them before. It's like and she throws some raisins in there, but it's just like peanut butter, a little bit of raisins, and then a chocolate coating. And those are just kind of a nice snack. Maybe have a bulldog or something or a cream de menthe or something to, you know, a little cocktail after the meal. But kind of fun to think about what we would make for our meals. If we were calling the shots there. So tell you what, everybody loves this week. It's absolutely fantastic. Really sad to think that we won't have a par three contest again, which is a bummer, but hopefully that'll come back in 2022.
You guys do realize for us to even have this conversation, we're talking about we have to win the Masters to even think about this dinner.
Well, that's why we can be ridiculous about what we're asking for, because we know it's not going to happen. So, you know, it's...
Well, last I checked, I haven't even been invited.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Jarrett.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth peaking. Charlie Hoffman peaking. Brooks Koepka back from injury, back from engagement. His knee looked pretty good on the engagement photos, so he must be ready to go. Who are you taking this week?
You know, Koepka had pants on, so we couldn't really see the bruises or cuts on his knee from his broken club incident.
Yeah, I think, you know, as long as DJ shows up to Augusta with some socks with little grippies on the bottom, he's not going to have to worry about going down any steps. So I think, like, you know, back to your point of, like, did this actually count because it was in the fall, the conditions are different? Like, that's number one, is just to wear slippers around the house. And I think he's going to give himself a really good opportunity to win. But I'm going Cam Smith and Lee Westwood this week.
Cam Smith and Lee Westwood. Very nice. Did you guys realize Cam Smith took second last year?
Yeah.
In November, he took second in this tournament. Like, that didn't get talked about that much, I feel like.
And he's had a great first part of the year, too. Here, I mean, he's got a couple of top tens, a couple of top fives. Like, he's having a really, really great year. I mean, the match play, like, anything can happen in the match play, right? But I think his game is in really, really good shape to be there on Sunday at Augusta.
Brandy, who are your two picks for this week? You get two players to select.
Ooh, two. I wasn't prepared for two, but that actually helps me a little bit. So my big deal was I had one solid pick this week, as long as he didn't win prior. And guess what he went out and did? He won. So Spieth is my pick to win. I'm going to take him back-to-back weeks. Number two, I'm gonna go Rahm.
So the John Rahm,
same guy I picked that shot 78-74 last week.
John Rahm just had his first baby, so he won't be on baby watch this week. That's a big deal. That totally changes things. So yep. I'm going a different direction with my picks for this show because I still have to fully analyze for all my leagues and break it down and run the numbers and et cetera. I'm going
just take your Rory and and see what happens.
I am going with a guy who always plays well at Augusta, Paul Casey. Paul Casey, I think it's going to happen, and I'm hoping. But I'm going to go with Paul Casey and Dustin Johnson. I just think that DJ, if he gets the sock situation dialed away and it doesn't have any issues there, it's just he's figured out how to win there. But again, the question will always be, like, does it count the same or will it be the same? And I think it'll be interesting to see now, back at a regular time, how he plays this year versus, you know, how he played in the fall. So this is going to be awesome. This thing is set up for a really special week. It's frustrating that Tiger won't be there, but I'm sure he'll be watching. And we do have confirmation that he is home. He's back in Florida. He's recovering. And hopefully we'll get to see some 2019 highlights. It should be pretty good. Before we get going here for this week, we want to talk about what local businesses did we support this week. So I went way outside of my comfort zone, and I went to Margie's Kitchen and Cocktails in Andover for the 1 millionth time in the last 7 months. They have a new cap steak that was out of this world with like a red wine reduction sauce. Unbelievable. And a new beer on tap from Falling Knife Brewery in Minneapolis. So that was really, really good. Brandy, how about you?
So, you know what? Last week I went to Old Piper Inn in Blaine.
Ooh.
For breakfast. I actually met the Minnesota University of Minnesota men's golf coach there for breakfast, Justin Smith, who's on the show a couple weeks ago. Great place. I'd never been there before, but man, if you want a great breakfast spot, at least for what I know, that place is awesome. Awesome. Right off of 65 in Blaine.
Garrett, what do you got?
You know, we did Cooper's again. Cooper's is around the corner from our house. Proceeds from pull tabs or whatever supports the Egan High School football program. But they've got a special coop sauce on their wings. It's like a combination of, you know, teriyaki, ketchup. I think some barbecue sauce in there. I know it sounds awful to mix it all together, but it's so stinking delicious. And then we stopped at, right around the corner from us is the headquarters for T-Rex cookies. So we got a big T-Rex cookie on the way home. So shout out to Jeff Municki on throwing down some T-Rex cookies, but Cooper's T-Rex cookies. That's what we did.
And I actually think that T-Rex cookies, that was part of why the USGA changed their rules on amateurs being able to get sponsorships. Because Jeff's relationship of being sponsored by T-Rex cookies, I'm pretty sure Jeff is responsible for about 75% of gross sales for T-Rex cookies. So shout out to T-Rex cookies. Recommend sharing them with two or three people. Otherwise, you might become diabetic. But they have some really good stuff going on there. That's some great shares, guys. And awesome weekend for hoops. We have Monday night now. We'll have the national championship on the men's side with Baylor and Gonzaga. Jalen Suggs, Minnesota's own, just was unbelievable.
Dude, how cool was that last night? We're recording this Sunday night, so this is Saturday night. How cool was that?
And that's the thing right now. Like, if you look at it, the women's player of the year, freshman Paige Beckers. Yeah. The men's more than likely player of the year, more than likely number one pick in the draft, Jalen Suggs, Minnehaha. And then the senior in high school, that was the player of the year, Chet Holmgren, Minnehaha. Like, there's some really good stuff happening in Minnesota hoops. So shout out to all of our basketball people in the state. That's some pretty good stuff going on. And we've got a new basketball coach at the U, just brought in three new recruits this week, or new transfers, Ben Johnson. So hopefully the Gophers are going in the right direction as well.
I love the direction the Gopher hoops team is going, but Brad, did you happen to see the tweet that Patino put out right after Johnson got hired?
Absolutely.
Yes. So good.
It was so good. You know, congrats on Ben Johnson. He's going to kill it here. I taught him everything, including how to recruit in-state,
which was the number one thing that everyone gave Richard a hard time about, and essentially one of the main reasons why Ben got hired. So pretty funny stuff there. We'd like to thank Jarrett so much for your time tonight. We really enjoyed seeing you, hearing you, talking with you, seeing that beautiful lobster skin.
Bucket hat. Thanks. Go with the bucket hat on the weekends, guys. Bucket hat early in the spring, bucket hat, sunscreen. My goodness.
So thank you to Jarrett, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual, Rip Golf, and PXG. Thank you so much to everyone. And as always, you can connect with us via email at 10kswings@scorenorth.com. Please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Score North. And please give us a 5-star rating. For Episode 7, the Masters Special Edition, we will have a special breakdown with Phil Mackey of Score North, and it should be a treat. Until next week, friends, I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
Take care.